Blog Talk Radio.
Activate. 5, 4, 3, 2, 1.
What you gonna bring to the table tonight? Give it to them, and I'ma give it to you. They don't understand the whole thing. What my doggone brother? There ain't no doggone tomorrow, brother. We gonna do it today, and we gonna do it.
Hold up. Man up.
What are you?
I'm comfortable.
It's time to man up, man up.
All right, everybody.
Who are you?
You.
No, not me, you.
Yes, I'm you.
Just answer the damn question.
Man up.
Behold this. Life. Real life.
That's what real men do.
Man up.
Coming from. I hear myself echoing. I hear you echoing.
Do you hear?
Okay. Yeah, I hear. I'm going to do another. See, can I fix that? So, hey, do me a favor. Why don't you just tell people a little bit about yourself, a little bit, while I take the technical difficulty on my end.
Okay. My name is Edward L. Fairley. I stress the L, so please keep in mind the L if you ever look me up or Google or whatever, so you can find me. There are other Edward Fairleys out there you will find if you just type in Edward Fairley. And with that being said, I am a relationship coach. I'm an author of a relationship book. I'm a public speaker on relationships, and relationships are just my thing. And, you know, I know how we people are, so let's go and get that out of the way. I am married. I'm happily married. I have two going on, three children. I know how we are. How are they going to teach about some daggone relationships when they ain't got their relationship together? So let's go and get that out of the way. I am a happily married man, going on 9 years of marriage, actually. I've been married for 8 years. I've been with my wife for 10 years. No, actually going on 11. And I am qualified. You will find out by the end of this show that I am qualified to teach you about relationships and increasing your relationship IQ, which is a portion of the name of my book. My actual book is called The Handbook for Increasing Your Relationship IQ, and you will see why by the end of this show today. By the end of this show today, you will understand and grasp the concepts that are within my book, and you will understand and appreciate yourself in your mates or your past mates better after this show is ended.
Okay.
And that's pretty
okay.
much enough about me.
Yeah, it appears that it's the studio because I guess the live location is where we got the little feedback. It's a little echo. I just double checked with some other people. Sound like we're in the auditorium, but it's all good.
Mm-hmm.
We're gonna keep it on anyway. It's just a little echo, so those sound like we need a little reverb. So please excuse us.
It's all right, y'all just get talked twice. Let's do that.
It has that special
twice.
Effect.
Okay. But please introduce yourselves. Sister Raven, as well as Brother Nash, so they can understand who else is on the panel and what you guys are going to be bringing to the table tonight as well.
Okay.
Oh, I'm just
going to
bring me. That's just it.
Oh,
I'm just going to bring me.
Okay.
And for those who don't know me, hopefully you do know me because it's been going on. This is our third week together. My name is Sonia. I am the hostess of Raven's Closet Talk Show, and you can hear my show each and every Thursday on www.talkshoe.com. You can check out my website, www.ravenscloset.talkshow.com. And we are in our second season of the talk show, and the mission of my show is really for us to address issues that are lingering in our closets that people are using as excuses of why they are not being their authentic selves, why they're not being transparent. They're holding back excuses of why they were or are drug addicts, alcoholics. The reason why they can't have a decent relationship is because of abuse or this one hurt me. And I just feel it's about time we clean out the closet, get real, put it out on the curb, let the trash man take it away. I mean, you can't move forward until you do that. You can't move forward in your life. You can't accomplish your dreams. You can't move forward on that job unless you clean out the closet and stop using all of this baggage, so to speak, as your crutch, as your defense mechanism. I mean, unless there's something really traumatic in your life that you just can't get past, still, that should not be an excuse for why you can't pursue your dreams, why you can't have that relationship or that family or that marriage that you always dreamed about. There's really no excuse. You just need to really address it. If you need to go get counseling, go get counseling. But really, it's time for us as people, regardless of your race, creed, it's time for us to just, you know, get with the program and stop hating on each other and support one another and just love one another and do what we need to do. You know, you want to leave an imprint and a legacy behind, but what do you want to be remembered? Do you want to be remembered for all of your drama, or do you want to remember for helping your community? Do you want to remember for publishing your book? Do you want to be remembered for starting an organization? You know, right now is the time, and it's up to you. Nobody can do it for you. As I said last night on the show, you can't love anybody until you first love yourself.
Hey,
and God made the ultimate sacrifice when he gave us Jesus. When he sacrificed Jesus, that was the ultimate love. That was unconditional love. So there's no excuse. There's no excuse.
Very good. Very good. I think we got the problem fixed now, a little technical difficulty.
Yeah,
you sound
like
better,
it.
Right?
Yeah.
All right. All right, well, let me introduce myself. My name is Mr. Naz. I choose Naz for a lot of professional reasons. Some of my friends in the industry call me Nasty, you know, but I prefer a grown man to say Naz. That's perfect for me. that would just work for me. If you can't have another brother walking me Nasty, you know, Naz is fine. And it's, but, you know, when you've been in the industry as long as I have, you know, it's, unfortunately you can't shake certain things, certain names and stuff like that. But anyway, my name is Mr. Naz. I'm the show producer of the Man of Talk show. I've been blessed to be in this business for the last maybe year and a half doing the internet radio. Big shout out to Ms. Tony Shannon, who helped kick it off last year with Chatterbox New Jersey. We want to send a lot of shout outs and love to her because she's checking us out. So she gets a big round of applause. But, you know, I'm just fortunate to, you know, surround myself with strong and positive people. They say in order to be a good leader, a good person, making moves, you got to surround yourself with good, strong people. And hopefully I can return that same service and favor to my brother Eddie and, of course, Sister Raven. So, I mean, without them, the Man Up Show cannot exist. And I'm just blessed right now. You know, I do a lot of stuff with community. I can go on and on and on with the bio. But, you know, I'm just very fortunate and happy to have all our listeners. And just to let everyone know, I want to say, Eddie and also Raven, we are at 1,600 listeners.
Woo-hoo!
Wow. Check the numbers before we got on. Numbers do not lie. So we appreciate all those checking in New York, New Jersey, Pennsylvania, Virginia. We got Florida on the check-in. We got California. I believe we have some people in the armed services overseas checking us out, and we really, really appreciate the support and the movement. You know, like we said, we're trying to make a movement, and Man Up ain't just about the men. It's about bringing reality, just the terminology. Man Up, you know, basically just facing reality and everyday experiences. That's where really the concept came from. Men like Brother Eddie, who was very enlightening and eye-opening. You know, he's the co-host. He's my man. Sister Raven, also co-host, and, you know, we're just making a lot of positive moves, and we're very, very, very fortunate to come together at the round table to talk about different discussions. But tonight, my brother Eddie is going to go on relationships and staying in line with the Valentine's Day weekend. And I'm pretty sure, and listen, now, I was almost done with the book, but I had to get back to training at work. That book, man, you're something else. The heaven and hell thing got me. You got me. You know, but I don't want to go too much into spoil surprise. But you know, I had to put that out there because that analogy you use, I can relate to. You know, once again, but Raven warned me. For those who haven't got the book, I'm gonna bring my brother Eddie back on. He's gonna talk about the book a little bit, and we're gonna address this on topic. So, brother Eddie, the floor is yours.
Okay, before you go, I'm sorry. I must have dozed off. What just happened?
What happened? He said he started reading the book, and he said that that heaven and hell analogy messed him up. So he said he didn't want to ruin it for those who have read it.
Okay.
And I know you know what the topic is because you read the whole thing.
I
was all in. I was all in about the the book, I was all in. I mean, the first phase and the second, I'm like, wait a minute, hold up.
I warned you.
Okay, let's do this, y'all. Let's do this, man. I mean, this is my baby. Relationships are is my passion, my love. Personally, why I think I was created. If you listen to anything that I say or any of the teachings, whether it is actual relationships that we consider like Valentine's Day or not, I always relate something to something to help you understand what it is that I'm talking about. So I'm always in relationship mode. I love relationships. I love finding relationships between things. But today we are going to be talking about relationships in the sense of dating, relationships, marriage, sex. We talk about everything tonight when it comes to relationships. So please feel free to call in, ask me any questions that you want. This will be the only time that I won't charge you. So I advise you to take advantage of any kind of coaching or consulting that comes with relationships on tonight. Let's start with the reason why I named it the segment of this show today, A Better One Makes a Better Two. The reason why I named that is because a successful relationship starts with you first. It starts mm-hmm. with you first. Your perspective, knowledge, wisdom, and understanding of a situation dictates how you feel and respond to a situation. That's why it's important that I help the world increase their relationship IQ. When you increase your relationship IQ, it helps you, like I said, increase your wisdom, your knowledge, and your perspective, and most importantly, your understanding, which will change how you feel and respond to the things you have responded to in the past, and in turn, how you respond to the things in the future. And that's why I named it A Better One Makes a Better Two, because it's all about getting yourself together first. So many people want to go out and try to fix somebody else, which is not possible, first of all. Only person that you could change or fix is yourself. You can't influence others, but that usually takes you having or being a great person and somebody wanting to change for you. So we got to get you together first before we can start changing or influencing other people. Y'all with me?
Let's start.
Let's start from the top. And whether you are dating in a relationship or a marriage, communication is the biggest cause of separation, divorce, or just not getting from the dating phase to the relationship phase. And we touched on this a little bit on the first time Brother Naz ever met me on this show, but I want to get into it, which is the foundation of successful relationships or increasing your relationship IQ, and that is detoxification, i.e. Identifying the roots of poor communication and in turn strengthening your awareness and understanding as to the reason why they're the roots of the poor communication and fixing those so that you can stop communicating poorly. The mm-hmm. first and foremost reason or root of poor communication is more evident than most, and that is a poor vocabulary.
Oh, we going there.
We going there.
Okay.
A poor vocabulary. I tend to call this the you know what I meant syndrome, or you know what I'm saying syndrome.
Not that one. Hold up.
We going there. Yes, let's go there. Please, let's go there.
Wow.
Okay. Yes. All right.
Okay. I got my ticket. I'm ready.
If you find yourself saying, you know what I meant, or you know what I'm saying, a lot, you have a poor vocabulary. Not even necessarily a poor vocabulary in the sense of you only have 11 or 12 words in your total vocabulary. It's even using words incorrectly. A great example is a young lady I was speaking to a while ago.
I usually use this analogy to help people understand what I'm talking about. I was talking to her on the phone, and she shared some information with me, and we had a mutual friend that she wanted me to share what she shared with me with them. So she said after she finished speaking, could you delay the message for me? And I told her, sure, I could delay the message for you. What? When can I tell them? And she was like, what are you talking about? I said, I don't mind delaying the message for them. So when can I tell them? So how long of a delay is it going to be? An hour? Two hours? 3 hours? How long of a delay is this delay that you want me to delay this message or whatever? So she still was lost. I said, okay, well, let me help you understand something. I said, to delay something is to withhold it for a certain period of time. And to relay, which is what I think you meant to say, is to pass something on, kind of like a relay race. And she was like, oh, you know what I meant. You know what I'm saying. So that's what I mean by the you know what I meant or you know what I'm saying syndrome. It's using words incorrectly in hopes that people grasp what you mean when the definition of the words that you're using clearly does not align with what you're trying to say. I mean, the best way I can put it is Imagine yourself yelling at somebody that is standing up to stand up. I mean, no, yeah, to stand up, meaning for them to sit down. And all you're doing is getting frustrated that they keep standing. Now, they're looking at you. For one, they're looking at you like you're crazy because you're yelling, will you stand up? Will you stand up? Stand up. And they're already standing. But you want them to sit down. You want them to sit down. So you're sitting there yelling, stand up, when you want them to sit down, and you're getting frustrated because your vocabulary is jacked up. You're using words incorrectly, and you're not relaying the message the way that you want to relay. Now, there's people that have poor vocabulary in the sense of they only have 25 to 26 words. Now, you know, I mentor young men all the time, every week, and a lot of them aspire to be rappers, but none of them want to read. I'm like, dude, if you can't read, how you gonna? You only got 13 words to rhyme with. Well, what's your song gonna sound like?
Hold on. Are you saying you got rappers that don't want to read?
Most of them. Matter of fact, I teach my children this all the time. If you listen or pay attention to the people that have been in the game the longest, mm-hmm. those are the most probably educated guys that you know. They won't say it, but those are the people that are reading and have a whole bunch of words at their disposal to utilize and keep you intrigued to relay a message.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
So it's interesting to me that those who if you look at the statistics in jail. Which I'll talk about statistics later too. I have a problem with those too. But to get my message across, if you pay attention to the statistics, one out of every four men in jail cannot read, and that's actually mm-hmm. violent men. And what's interesting to me is how frustrating is it to have something that you want to say that you can't say.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm.
If you think about babies, they cry, they whine because they cannot say what it is that they want done. So now you have to decode their cry to understand, oh, that's the cry for a bottle. Oh, that's the mm-hmm. cry for their winky, whatever y'all come up with these names for the toys for the children. So you have to sit down and try to figure out what's the reason for their cry. And I think that has a lot to do with people being violent and being in jail. They cannot express themselves, so they get frustrated, and then they tend to attack or snap off.
Great example. So that can actually be related to relationships as well.
Oh, I told you, everything is a relationship. Now let's analyze this and what it looks like. So now we're going to talk about how this whole vocabulary thing or being able to relay a message will cause an argument. Because for one, there's two things that cause an argument. One is the frustration, someone not being able to relay a message or express what it is that they're trying to say. And then the second thing is just the whole concept of you wanting them to receive what it is that you're trying to say as opposed to trying to understand what it is that they're trying to say. You feel what I'm saying? Okay. An argument is nothing but two narrow-minded people trying to force their views upon each other.
Okay, true.
Mm-hmm.
Two narrow-minded people trying to force their views upon each other. Because if two people were in the same room intentionally trying to understand each other, there would be no argument. So what's happening is I'm trying to make you see or agree with what I'm saying, and the other person's trying to make you hear and see what it is that I'm trying to say or accept my view, as opposed to two people sitting down trying to understand where they're coming from to come to a conclusion or make a decision. Okay, that's why we get along on this show.
Now, Brother Ed, I'm glad you said that. Now, we as humans, you know, I think you even referenced in the book, we're in this now age or whatever. Everybody wants to say now. And, you know, I'm guilty as well, you know, learning to become more patient so I can be able to understand the communication that my lady's trying to tell me or vice versa, or me trying to take the time to be, how you say, more diligent in my communication. How do you develop that a little bit more better so that communication can be established more better with the couple? For those listening, you know, I'm pretty sure there's a couple of the fellas, you know, that's checking us out. You know, I'm speaking on, you know, a couple of fellas. They already hit me up on the text already. But how do you, develop that patience so you communicate better?
Well, first of all, you develop it by understanding how you feel about the whole situation. How do you feel talking to somebody that you know is not listening and trying to understand what it is that you're trying to say?
That is
the most frustrating feeling ever. So when you talk to somebody else, you need to keep that in mind. How would you feel if all you're doing is waiting for them to shut up so that you could go in and say what you're trying to say?
Right.
No, you sit your tail down and listen with the intent of trying to understand what they're saying before you make your decision. It's crazy because that's my thought of the day today was actually spoke about that. But to go into what causes arguments, again, I always use analogies and stories to do this. So I was about a year ago, I was out and I saw this guy ask a guy for direction somewhere. And after he asked the guy the question, the guy he started responding back in Spanish. So what the guy did, which is what most people do, is he just started yelling the same question again to the guy that spoke Spanish and clearly didn't speak English. So he started yelling, "I said, where did you go? Where do I go to get to such and such and such and such?" And see, now you laughed at that. We do it all the time. That is what an argument is. You try to get them to understand what you're saying, and instead of you changing the way that you say what it is that you're trying to try to get them to understand, you started yelling for them to grasp what it is that you were trying to say. Instead of trying to find a way to interpret what you're saying, you just started yelling as if the foreigner is going to understand English better because you're yelling. It makes no sense. When you are in a relationship, though you two speak English, you might be speaking a different dialect. So you have to shift what it is that you're trying to say in a manner that helps that person understand or relate to the message that you're trying to understand. And again, not try to force your views on a person, but just share your views with that person. And then you guys can agree to disagree or what have you, or you might find that because you finally listened with the intent of understanding where they were coming from, that you can see and understand why it is that they feel that way or why it is that they came to the conclusion that they came to.
Okay.
That is the first root of poor communication. That is a poor vocabulary. So if you find yourself saying, you know what I mean, or you know what I'm saying, or you know what I mean, or when you're talking saying, you know what I mean, before you even finish saying what you said, and I'm like, no, I don't know what you mean. That's why I asked you the question in the first place. That kills me. People saying, they'll start answering your question, and then they say, you know what I'm saying, or you know what I mean. You know, no, I don't, and it seems like you don't either. That's why I'm sitting here getting frustrated listening to the whole conversation, because you don't have the words to get me on the other side of the bridge to where you are at.
you don't have an adequate enough words, because words are the bridge to get you over to a certain message. So if you don't have the adequate enough words, I can't get to the other side with you. And I'm just sitting here walking across words to get to the other side of you, but you ran out. So now I never got to where you're trying to get me to go. So enough with vocabulary. If you have a terrible vocabulary, just start reading books.
Mm-hmm.
And again, make sure that the definition aligns with it, the word that you're using. Stop yelling, stand up when the person's already standing up, meaning for them to sit down. Okay?
And that's one of the first – I'm sorry, Edward.
No, go ahead, go ahead.
But that's that's one of the frustrating things I found as a woman in the dating world. That's one of the things that I find frustrating, is when having a conversation with a potential person to date, that they start off the conversation, well, you know what I'm saying, you know what I mean. No, I don't. Can you complete a sentence so I can follow you? And when I say that, they look at me like, okay, she a little uppity. No, I'm trying to understand what it is you really are saying, because you have yet to complete a sentence without
mm-hmm.
saying, you know what I mean, you know what I'm saying, you know what I mean, right? No, I don't.
Actually,
oh,
I don't.
Oh, you're not hood. No, I'm not. No, it's not. It has nothing to do with me being hood or college educated. I just want a conversation where you complete a sentence in a paragraph.
Yeah, exactly.
So that is very frustrating.
Now, Raven, let me ask you a question. And Brother Eddie, maybe you show a little elaboration, because you do have some young men and young women that, like Brother Eddie said earlier, doesn't know how to communicate. I think also, this is my perspective, that sometimes the listeners got to keep that in mind. And like you said before, I think we discussed it many times, we all come from different environments and different social backgrounds and education, and not maybe somebody who doesn't know how to articulate as well. They're trying to communicate. I think that sometimes we as people, myself being guilty, you know, I have to keep in mind, hey, listen, maybe this person is a little less educated. Maybe this person doesn't know how to convey, but they're trying to communicate. So, you know, maybe I have to learn to listen a little bit more and try to, you know, hear what they're trying to convey or the message they're trying to, you know, speak out. You know, not every angry black man out here is just being angry for no reason. There's a message. Maybe he doesn't know how to communicate it. Maybe he doesn't know how to express his feelings. So he responds with anger, like a kid that doesn't know how to read in class. He acts out because he's trying to get out of talking in front of class or reading a book or reading a paragraph.
All right, well, let me respond to what you just said. I agree with you completely and wholeheartedly, but at the same token, that would be or mean that it's your pride that's keeping you from
mm-hmm.
being a good communicator. You are determined. You determine the vocabulary that you have. You determine whether you can read or not. You determine how many words you have to pick from to get a message across. That's your decision. You cannot. We are so far past allowing the fact that
mm-hmm.
we can't read, or our quote unquote education level to be the reason,
right,
or even an accepted reason for why we can't communicate. Reading is no longer illegal for black folks. I'm sorry if y'all haven't realized that it's no longer illegal. You cannot
mm-hmm.
be killed or anything like that. You can begin. I don't care if you. I have children that I have reading and doing 10 words a day in the dictionary to know how to pronounce a word, understand a word, and just add a word a day. If you add, let's do this. If you do one word a day, if you add one new word a day, you have 365 words a year that you've added to your vocabulary
mm.
to choose from. That
mm-hmm.
is unacceptable for you to say that, oh, well, I'm not educated. That's your fault. Think about the beginning of that sentence. I'm not educated.
Educated.
So that
right.
means I am the one that did not. Now, let's do this, because I need you all to understand. Most people take this word education and assume that it means college. I promise if you go and read the definition for education, you will find that nothing about school or college is in the word education. Education just means that you are more knowledgeable, you gain more wisdom and insight, and you can do that by going to a library. You can do whatever. In the dictionary, it breaks down how to pronounce the word for you and everything like that. So to not be able to communicate, to be honest with you, is just laziness. After you know and understand why you can't communicate, and I'm telling you why you're not being a successful communicator, well, that's one of the reasons when it comes to vocabulary is because you won't take the time to increase your vocabulary because you're prideful and you feel like because everybody around you says, you know what I'm saying, which you'll find out why they don't really know what you're saying in a couple seconds, in a minute, but that's not acceptable, Nas, that for people to say, you know, I don't have the same background or the education that you have. Well, you can work on it. Take yourself to the library, get a book or whatever, and
so
just start reading.
And also, to add on to that is also peer pressure. Because if you appear to have elevated your vocabulary, then you have your homies or your homegirl saying, "Oh, what you trying to do? You trying to leave us? You trying to be smarter than us? You think you know it all?" So a lot of you have to add that to it as well. If we're talking about young people, peer pressure has a lot to do with that as well.
Well, no, I definitely agree with you, you guys, on that note. I mean, it's just amazing. Sometimes you have so many young people as well as young men and men, maybe middle age, whoever, they've been surrounded by so much negativity, you know, and when they get an ounce of positive stuff around it, they get challenged, they tend to shut down, but then, you know, then that's when those excuses may come out. Because I've been around a lot of brothers like that, Brother Eddie, that will say, you know, I may not be as educated, but, you know, I just find it, you know, that the fact that they're willing to admit their shortcomings and willing to say, you know what, I may be a little less educated. You know, I understand, you know, your analogy on that educated standpoint, but they want help. You know, for them to say, listen, I may not be here with this, you know, my communication is not as great, but I'm willing to learn to become a better communicator. You know,
but what I'm saying is, okay, after we get past that part, which is great, like you said, I'm not that educated, what have you. Okay, now I just told you, we're on the radio right now. Your vocabulary is low. Now what are you going to do about it? What are you going to do about it now? I just told you the reason why you can't communicate, or one of the reasons why. So what are you going to do with that information that I shared with you? Because now it's up to you. Once I give you the information, that's no longer your excuse. You have to do what you got to do to get your words up now. Okay.
Right, now I agree.
You feel me?
I agree.
Now, to take this a step further, for all you listeners, I do not have a college degree, but doctors purchase my book and use it as counseling with their degree.
Hold
because
up.
Because I'm educated.
Now, you saying
the difference between going to college and getting an education and just being educated. I know plenty of people. Matter of fact, the girl that told me to delay the message was a law student in her tag-on junior year of college. So education has nothing to do with going to college. It's just learning stuff, bettering yourself. It has nothing to do with college. So again, I don't have a degree. So we're gonna kill a whole bunch of stereotypes and assumptions tonight because I have no degree. Yeah, I have doctors coming to me for advice. So
wow.
that degree stuff, I don't have the education. That is your decision. Because it costs nothing to go to the library and get a book. Absolutely $0, and it's the same book that you get or they cause you to buy to go to college and get an education.
Okay.
So, next topic.
but we also got to remember to add into the factor of the peer pressure and trying to still fit in with the homies,
actually,
still trying to keep up.
We don't, because we are grown men. If you got peer pressure problems, you're not yourself anyway. Who cares?
Well,
If what other people say or don't do dictates who you are, you're not even being yourself in the first place.
Mm-hmm.
I'm not talking
wow.
to you. I'm talking to those who want to be something or be themselves. I have no time to try to sit and talk to somebody that is trying to make their life something for their father, their mother, their preacher, their pastor, their friends. I'm here to free people that want to be free. I can't free you if you don't know you're a slave. So,
ooh,
next
mm-hmm.
topic. Next topic. The next.
What'd you
say, Nas?
got to get back to the relationship part now. I mean,
yeah,
you know, we trying to.
Back to the relationship.
But that goes with it.
The second
But I saw another topic. Like I said before, you know, to my listeners, those just checking in, welcome to the Man Up Talk Up Show. I got some people checking in. Keep up the energy. Okay, thank you. Thank you, Dallas. Also, text me. Also, I want to say you're listening to my man, brother, Edward L. Fairley. You want to be called Eddie. So your
Eddie,
guys don't get twisted. We got the lovely Miss Raven from the Raven's Closet Talk Show. And yours truly, Mr. Naz. And the topic is of relationships, and the host is even spearheading this is Brother Eddie. We're getting back on. I just had to throw that little piece in there, Brother Eddie, if you didn't mind. No. But getting back to the relationship part, you left us, you know, kind of getting deep on as far as the communication aspect. I think the relationship was the communication. Now, what was our next part we were about to go into
next,
from there?
The next route of poor communication is generalizing the male and female gender. I'm about to debunk that whole theory right now. This is one root of poor communication that is causing people not to communicate effectively. This is why you have no business listening to Steve Harvey. This is why you have no business listening to the doctor that told you that men are from Mars and women are from Venus. This is why you have no business or you should run when the doctor says, oh, no, I'm sorry, sweetie, you just don't understand the man. He's the man. He's the hunter. He's the one that goes out and he provides for the woman. So you have to stroke his ego and make him feel like such and such. This is to help you understand that all this stuff is BS, and you should not be using this to help you better your relationships. Stop reading that. Men are from Mars, women are from Venus. Stop reading, act like a lady, think like a man because of this right here. Now, generalizing male and female is causing people to miscommunicate. First of all, when you generalize male and female or say that men are a certain way or women are a certain way, basically what you're trying to say is all men are one way and all women are another way. Now, let's debunk that. The reason why we can debunk that is because, first of all, if this was true, there would be no such thing as homosexuality. Okay? Because all men would like women, and all women would like men, or all men would like men, and all women would like women. However, it started off with either way that it worked. Secondly, if all men were the same and all women were the same, then all men and all women would be compatible with one another. We all know this not to be true. not every man is compatible with another female. Not every woman is compatible with another man. So what you do is you have to look at people as individuals. Because if you go and read a book that says that men like the cartilage in the back of their ears rubbed, ladies, so that's what you go ahead and do with your boyfriend Ray Ray. Ray Ray is going to look at you like you lost your dad on mine and say, what the hell are you doing? If you don't get your little stubby fingers off the back of my ear, I'm going to bust you inside your head. Because that is not what Ray Ray likes. No book can tell you anything about your man or your woman. There's no book in the world, not even my book can tell you and explain how your man is or how your woman is. The closest we've gotten to where I'm trying to get us is the four love languages, which is still a problem because the minute you say, well, you are a giver, or you speak the language of whatever the four languages are, that's when you start trying to put your mate in a certain box and assume that everything about them is going to be like the book says, and that is not true, okay? So you cannot generalize the male and female gender. Now, a lot of people like to go to Cosmos. Girl, they say 85% of men like whatever, or it says that 75% of women, and we look at these statistics. This is my problem that I have with statistics. Statistics say that, and this is how they come to the conclusion, by the way, that men are this way or women are this way. They take, in science, they'll take this and they'll say, okay, 85% of men, they have this kind of gene or this is how they respond to this, so 85% of men like this or don't like this. But this is where I'm going to challenge you all to start thinking on your own instead of listening to stuff. Most of the statistics that we quote and we live by, we don't even consider the fact that we weren't even polled in that statistic. Just that alone proves that the statistic is flawed. If it says that 85% of men
they don't like details in their conversation, but you never got the call that says, hey, sir, do you like details when you're giving instructions in conversation? That is evidence that that statistic is flawed. You hear what I'm saying now?
Yeah, no, I'm glad you said that. Like, but, you know, they make these statistics. Who do they go with to ask? I mean
you said what?
When they talk about statistics, are they knocking on your door asking you about statistics?
Exactly. No, they're not. And see, and that's the problem. But we listen to this stuff like, oh, girl, I didn't even know that. That's true. Or, oh, man, this is what the women like. Yo, this is what we got to start doing. And it's like, no, the hell you don't. That's the dumb thing you should start doing. You need to focus on your girl and figure out what she likes and provide her with that. Don't try to provide her with the daggone book set. These books don't know nothing about your man or your woman. Steve Harvey don't know crap about me. He don't know one thing about me. He cannot tell you about me. Only I can, and time with me, and the hope what I'm telling you is to be true. So only time with your male or your female can help you understand your male or your female. Again, if all men were the same and all women were the same, there would be no such thing as homosexuality, and all men and females will be compatible, and we all know both of those things are not true. So with that being said, stop looking at men as men and stop looking at women as women and look at everybody as an individual, and that will keep you from making assumptions about that person, how they're going to respond, how they're going to think, how they're going to view things, and it will cause you to intently ask questions and get information to try to understand that person as an individual instead of trying to assume that person, that, oh, he's just like all the other men. He's just like all the other women. He is all men are dogs, all females, yet there's a lot of successful relationships. So we got to get that mess out of our heads. The minute we can stop saying that men are a certain way and all women are a certain way, the minute that we have taken another step to being better communicators.
Okay. Now, with that being said, brother, when you hear the old cliches, all men are dogs, all women are like this, gold diggers, whatever the terminology may be. Now, I hear a lot of always the blame game, if I'm saying it correctly, but a lot of times I don't hear the person taking accountability, you know. I mean, I guess it don't sound cool, you know, when a man say, you know what, man, it was my fault, you know, I could have done better. Or a woman saying, you know what, it's my fault.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I mean, once again, you know, it's quick to point the finger, but, you know, how, as we as people, those are in relationships, become better and being accountable for our mistakes so you don't mess up your relationship.
What are best ways to be more accountable? I mean, I can't tell you how to be more accountable. You just got to be more accountable. Most people just, let me tell you something. The reason why people, they blame people is because a lot of people just don't like looking in the mirror. Matter of fact,
mm-hmm.
if you don't like me, you don't like looking in the mirror. Because all I am is a reflection. All I'm doing is sharing and helping you understand and see you for what you really are. Anybody that does not like me does not like looking in the mirror, because that's all I do is share a reflection of you with yourself, and you like, dang, I can't stand that dude. He made me sick. Because I was dead on with what I just said, and it bothers you. But it don't matter how many mirrors you break, it does not matter how many mirrors you walk away from, you still have that crud on your eye or that toothpaste on the corner of your mouth, and you still look the same. So why don't we just go ahead and look in the mirror and start making the changes that we need to make ourselves better. Again, a better one makes a better two. I'm going to say it again. A better one makes a better two. So we gotta work on you first. And that's the problem with so many people with so many different problems. Case in point, now tell me you ever heard this before. Ooh, girl, you should have been, or ooh, man, yo, you should have been at church or wherever. That message was for you. No, that message was for whoever was in the church.
Mm-hmm.
How did it go over your head when you was clearly the person that they was talking to? People listen to stuff and they find everybody else that it aligns with, instead of trying to find themselves first in it,
fix themselves and then work their way out. That's where the blame game comes from. That's how you're supposed to do stuff. You're supposed to look at yourself first. That's how I do anything. Anyway, if there's any kind of problems or conflict, I say, okay, what did I do to cause this to be the way it is? And then I'll eliminate myself. Hopefully, if I don't, I'll stop where I caused the problem, and then I'll work my way out, and eventually we'll probably get to you. But start with yourself first. Because that's the only thing that you can change. You can't change nobody else.
So we
kind of debunked the whole generalize the male and female thing. Stop listening to statistics, especially if they never called you. What are you doing? Great. As a matter of fact, let me go ahead and tap on this. I'm not supposed to say this, but I'm going to say it anyway because that's just what I do. I am a Nielsen family. For those who don't know what a Nielsen family is, I am that family that they hook up stuff to all your computers and TVs and stuff like that to figure out or come up with the statistic that says that a black family with a certain amount of income or whatever watches these type of shows to give you all the ratings for the shows that you all watch. Okay? With that being said, I am a Nielsen family, and I read this the whole setup. I represent black married families with a $70,000 income or family income within a 35-mile radius. I represent all black people in that category within a 35-mile radius. So that's here in Virginia to North Carolina. Please tell me, Nas, from listening to me speak and how I talk and how I act, do you think I listen or I can properly represent the black community in a 35-mile radius?
You know how large that is.
What I watch on TV, this is how statistics are made. I need y'all to understand this because this is how they come up with all men are this way and all females are this way. And when they figure out a majority, they pretty much tell you that this is how men are or this is how women are. And they don't even say that, okay, the majority is 55 to 45. They just say whatever the majority it is, that majority is, that's where the women are. And whatever the majority is with this test, that's where the men are. Now, mind you, the test is not a test of everybody. It's the test of a collective group that they collected, like me, as the person that represents a 35-mile radius of black people that is in a married household with two kids and income of $70,000 or whatever. And for some reason need my car, so I guess it's for people that have Toyota, a Highlander, and a daggone Honda Accord, too. This is what you watch on TV now. That is BS. And that is the stuff that you guys are going to doctors spending all y'all money for them to teach y'all and tell y'all this. And you like, they'll tell you one thing that you can relate to, just like when you go and listen or read the thing about Pisces and Capricorn, and you be like, oh, that is true. I did see a piece of gum on the ground today, so this must be true. They get one thing that got you, and now you believe everything that they say. Hell no. Today we're debunking this stuff, and we're taking our minds back, and we're getting the power. Stop generalizing male and female.
Let me ask him, Brother Eddie. I mean, all right, when people take these statistics and try to generalize, I guess, families, black people, couples, or black males, females, whatever. I mean, what makes, all right, in your situation, what made you agree to be one of the Nielsen surveyors, or I'm sure with a proper pronunciation?
Oh, I didn't. It was my mom, my wife. She was so excited about it. She loves TV, and she said it. I always wanted to be a Nielsen family. I'm like, I didn't even know about this mess. But when they came in my house, I wanted to know and understand what the heck was going on. So I started asking those questions. But I couldn't tell you why my wife, for all her life, wanted to be a Nielsen family, because the mess is worse than all these damn gadgets behind my TVs in the house or whatever, for them to get the information. But they send you a little check monthly, so that's something my wife wanted to do. But personally, I don't watch TV. I'm not a fan of TV. I don't watch TV. So they're really getting what my wife watches, or if
because my wife likes to sleep with background music, I'm really particular about what I allow into my subconscious mind. So what I will have on the TV as a background is going to be recorded as what it is that black people within this area and this general consistent census determines. I'm the one that determines, or my family is the one that determines what black people watch and listen to.
So I, you know, it's funny you talk about the statistics and how it's just totally flawed, and even coming to relationships. now, a lot of women, you know, just from talking to various people, I have sisters, you know, my lady, and just past relationships, you know, they generalize a lot of our men. I mean,
yeah.
I know that us black men, especially our black men, have caught a bad deal for a while. I mean, they have. I mean, that's through conversation. I'm not, you know, saying I'm a pro on that, because I'm not. You know, I don't know.
Yeah.
Like you said, everybody's an individual. You know, can you just tell some of our listeners, I mean, how do you break some of the stereotypes? Because even when you go to work, because sometimes when I'm at my job, you'll hear the little, sidebar conversations, little jabs coming from maybe a Caucasian person, or especially the Hispanics. That kills me. All you black people, excuse me? You know, especially in relationships. You know, we us Hispanic men, we love our families a lot more than you black men.
All right, this is how I live my life, and this is what I stand on in regards to my work and the quality of my work. There is truth, and there is theory. Okay, truth is kind of the equivalent of when you were in school and they taught you in science that there's theory and there's law. Law meaning that there's no exception to this rule. Okay, and that's what I consider truth to be, kind of like law. There's no exception to this rule. And if you look at life with the mindset of truth and theory, you would do so much better in your decision-making and your conclusion. What do I mean by that? The reason why I say, you know, stop generalizing male and female, or because if you can find one person that debunks that general theory, then that is not truth. And you should not be teaching it, and nor should you be receiving it. You feel what I'm saying? So if you see one person in jail that stole, that's a black person, you cannot say all black people steal. If you found 30 people that stole, that's in jail, you cannot say all black people steal. The same concept with generalizing male and female. You cannot say, well, most men, they don't like to communicate. First and foremost, that stuff is taught via the television and internet and media and who you've grown up with. Okay,
not
so the way that you are is a reflection of what you were taught. So and what you decided to take from what you saw and you were taught. So with that being said, people are I hate to have to go here, but I'm gonna go here. People are usually the result of their environment, which is why they want to keep us, the black people, in the project, and they want to keep our books, the lower books, so that we cannot learn and better ourselves so that we can get to where they quote-unquote are. So it keeps us dumb, if you will, or uneducated, and they intentionally put the stuff in our neighborhoods to keep us where we are so they can keep their thumbs on us. And we, because we see it, and this to go on how people generalize, this is what I try to help people understand, like, this is why you have to stop generalizing people. A person that says all men are dogs, I'm like, whoa, first of all, you live in such and such city, you've never left this city, you've only been with a certain amount of men. You don't know a small pinch of the billions of men that are in this world. Yet you concluded that because of your small experiences that all men are like this. That is the problem. Our experiences in life are so powerful that they force us to think or assume that that experience is everywhere. You feel what I'm saying?
Wow. I think you just nailed that right there, my brother. Repeat that again.
When you are in a our experiences, like I said, they're so powerful that it causes us to think that everybody experiences it. That's why it's so important
to read books or travel or whatever so that you can see different things so that you can start shifting your perspective and then start comparing things and making decisions based off of that, which is an excellent segue into the third and final rule of oral communication. And the third... The third and final root of poor communication is, y'all ready, world? Hope you guys aren't going to hate me for a short period of time, but the third root of poor communication is common sense. There's no such thing as common sense. Okay? Now, I got some people that's listening to radio. I was feeling that dude until he just said that. I don't know what the hell he's talking about. There is common sense. My mama told me that it's common sense. Well, let me help you debunk that, too. Excuse me. Whenever someone says that something is common sense, what they're really saying is everybody knows that, okay? And if you disagree with me, then first of all, something's wrong with you because that's exactly what you mean when you say, well, that's common sense. What happened is you got frustrated that somebody didn't do what you thought everybody did or knew about, and you felt the need to say that that's common sense. Now, that in itself debunks the whole theory of common sense, because if there was a such thing as common sense, you would never have to say, well, that's common sense. Because you only say, well, that's common sense. Because you only say, well, that's common sense when someone does the opposite of what is, quote, unquote, common sense. But if common sense is common, everybody would know to do it, and there would be no need to correct someone or tell someone that they're not doing what everyone knows commonly. Okay? So, now, let's dive into this whole common sense thing. Your common sense is what you have gathered and concluded. And man, I love how this show is flowing because I'm about to go back to all the stuff that I've already said. Common sense is what you've gathered and concluded to be truth all the way up into that point of your life. Now, nobody in the world has had the same parenting. No one in the world has had the same parents. No one in the world has gone through the same exact classes. No one in the world is necessarily the same culture. No one in the world has had the same exact life experiences. I'm pacing in my house right now. Some of you guys are sitting down. Everything that happens in your life causes you to come to conclusions that you come to. Now, with that being said, knowing that all of these things are different, your education, your location, where you're from, your city, your schooling, the teachers that taught in your school, your life experiences, who you dated, who your mother was, who your father was, who your mother wasn't, who your father wasn't, the experience that you had in life are what causes you to conclude certain things to be common sense. And because no one has experienced all those different things, there's no such thing as common sense. The only way that we can come up with common sense is when we can all take different subjects in the world and say, okay, this is what we are going to conclude is the right thing with this particular subject, this particular matter, this particular thing. But for one, we'll never do that because that's just not going to happen. And two, everyone's different. You have Chinese, Mexicans, blacks. You have blacks that feel that they're upper-class blacks, blacks that feel that they're lower-class blacks. You got middle-class blacks. You have people that whose outlook in life are different. You have people who are auditory learners. You have people that are visual learners. You have people that are kinesthetic learners. Yet we say things are common sense when we don't have one common way of learning, looking at life, things, and anything like that. So what we as humans do is we conclude things and to make us feel better, we say, all right, because I came up with that reasoning or rationale, that's common sense. That's just our way of saying I feel better about the decision I made about that. So that's common sense. Now let's analyze common sense. I'm gonna do it with a story. There was a mother that told her son to go to the grocery store and get some milk. And she said, also get four eggs. Let me start over. I apologize. Mom told the son to get a carton of milk. I apologize. Mom told the son to go get a carton of milk. And she said, and if they have eggs, get six. Okay?
Mm-hmm.
So the son went to the store and came back home with six cartons of milk. Now, the mom is like, what is wrong with you? I told you to go to the store and get a carton of milk, and if they had eggs, get six. Why did you bring six cartons of milk? And the son said, because they had eggs. Now, listen. The mom said, go to the store and get a carton of milk, and if they have eggs, get six. Both of these people are right because they practice their common sense. The mom said, if you go to the store, get a carton of milk. If they have eggs, get six. The boy receives that as, if they have go to the store, get a carton of milk. If they have eggs inside the store, get six cartons of milk. The mother went, go to the store and get a carton of milk. If they have eggs, get six eggs. Neither one of these two people are right in how they interpreted what was said. And the mom is like, common sense will tell you to get sense. Says, no, what you told me was to go to the store and get a carton of milk, and if they have eggs, get six.
You cause that boy to get smacked. He talked like his mother.
but that's what common sense looks like. That's why I'm saying that. That's what common sense is like. Another way common sense is like, you have a princess, which is not unusual, or a person who has grown up in a family whose parents did everything for them, cleaned up behind them, picked up behind them. So when they turn, this particular person pretty much had a maid. So when she or he took off their clothes in the house, they just let them lay on the floor because someone was going to what? Pick them up, right?
Mm-hmm.
So now this person gets married to a person whose mother or family member or guardian raised them, saying that you walk past that shirt three or four times. If I see you walk past the shirt one more time, I'm smack inside your head. Common sense will tell you that you don't put your clothes on the floor. You do something with them. So now this person who throughout their life their parents said, boy or girl, I saw you walk past that shirt three or four times. Common sense tell you, pick up the stuff behind you, I'm going to smack you inside your head. Now this person has adopted that as common sense. You don't just leave stuff around on the floor. You pick it up when you're done. Now these two people get together. They're in a relationship now. And what happens is she takes off her clothes, the princess girl. And she throws her stuff on the floor. Now it's this dude that's sitting here like, yo, you won't pass this shirt three times. Common sense to tell you to pick up your shirt. That's trifling. But see, what happens with common sense is we don't talk about it. We just feel disrespected about it because they didn't do what we know is common sense. You feel what I'm saying, Nas? What we're doing is we're feeling disrespected because if you feel, all right, let's put it this way. If you think everybody knows, all right, we don't talk about what we think everybody else knows. So nobody goes up to someone and says, yo, what's 1 + 1? Because we know that they know that it's 2. So the things that we know people know, we don't talk about. Common sense is something that we assume everyone knows. So what we do is we don't talk about the thing that's making us mad. We just feel disrespected that you didn't do what you already knew to do. You feel what I'm saying? Or do I need to go a little deeper in it?
Brother Ed, hold on for a second. I think we got a caller for you. Let me see who we got on.
Okay.
Stand by. Hello, you're on the Man Who Talk Show with Brother Ed and Raven. Talk to us.
How you doing?
Tony. What's
how
good,
you doing?
How you doing?
I have a question, Ed. Everybody,
how you doing?
Hey.
How you doing, young lady?
I love y'all, but at the end of the day, common sense. Common sense, okay?
Mm-hmm.
I done been with one that you had to use a toothbrush to clean the corners of the house, okay?
Uh-huh.
And then you have one that just throw it on the floor. I was raised in a house that my mom, my dad was the one that did everything. My mom did too, but she had five kids, so we did everything. My mom didn't have to lift a finger. But at the end of the day, when you're in a relationship, when does it stop you being a maid? Because now you have one that you have to use a toothbrush. Oh, you have to clean every 5 seconds. And then the other one is just like, no, babe, no. And then you adapted to the one that clings to a toothbrush. And you're looking like, wait a minute. This is not what I wanted to do. But at the end of the day, it's common sense. But people are not brought up on common sense these days.
No, that's the problem. There's no such thing as common sense. Common sense is just what we say to make us feel better about the decisions or the conclusion that we came up with. So when you say common sense, you have in your mind something. All right, put it this way. I asked the guy, I said, hey, I want some, I said, what's the best place to go and get pizza from?
Oh,
and
Lord.
He was like, oh, okay, it's such and such store or what have you, right? So in my mind, though, my favorite type of what makes a pizza the best type of pizza is sauce, the sauce
yes.
of the pizza.
All day.
So he sent me to a place that had the best cheese and not hardly any sauce because in his mind, cheese makes a pizza the best type of pizza.
Yeah.
Okay? So, because we did not take the extra step, which is what kills the whole concept of common sense and helps us communicate better, because that's what common sense does. It takes out that extra step to understand where the person is coming from. Instead of me saying, okay, where is the best place to go to get a pizza with good sauce, and he's probably saying, well, I don't know because I like cheese, he sent me to a place, I take a bite of the pizza. I took a bite of the pizza, and I'm pissed. And I think he don't know a damn thing about pizza because I did not take the time to explain what
you
good pizza, exactly. And that's what common sense does. In your mind, you already know what you want or how it's supposed to be.
Exactly.
But you don't take the time to explain it to that other person, and you feel disrespected when they don't do what you think
common sense is.
Exactly, because everybody comes to their own conclusions about what common sense is, but there's no such thing as common sense. It's just your conclusions in life. And what we need to do, the way to kill common sense and communicate better is you have to take that extra step to explain why it is that you came to the conclusion that you did so that they can understand why it is that you don't like this or feel this way or whatever so that you do not, one, feel disrespected, and then they, in turn, can respond to you a better way. Because what happens is you feel you like, man, don't touch me like that. Common sense will tell you, all right. Case in point, in the book, I talk about a family member, a guy going, he getting sick. When he gets sick, to him, to himself, the way you get well is to be in a room by yourself, no one's bothering you, getting rest without any interruptions or whatever so that you can get yourself together. Now, his wife, who thinks that you are supposed to be checked on, given soup and all that stuff like that, she, in turn, thinks that this is what common sense will tell you. Common sense will tell you to do this to make you feel better. So what she does is when the guy is sick, he's in his room trying to get well. Mom says, hey, you kids, make sure you go check on your father because he's sick. Check on him probably about every 35 minutes because she's thinking in her mind, common sense will tell you that a sick person wants to be catered to, checked on, all this stuff. Now, the dad is in the room saying to himself, common sense will tell you to leave me alone because I need time to myself to get rested and acclimated and get my energy up so that I can stop being sick. So when he, now check it, flip it, when he gets well and the wife gets sick or the girl gets sick, he tells the kids to stay out of room and he doesn't bother her. She's thinking to herself, common sense will tell you to come check on me because people like to get checked on and catered to when they're sick. When he's thinking, common sense is you get rest when you're sick to get yourself back together and come or get out of this whole sickness or flu or cold, whatever it is that you have going on. So basically to conclude this whole common sense thing, because I don't want to get caught up on that, we do have a lot more topics and stuff, dating and relationship and stuff like that, but to conclude it is stop thinking, the minute you think something is common sense is the minute that you need to stop, take the time to explain to the person how you came to the conclusion that that was common sense so they can better understand you. And you can better understand them because in turn they're gonna say, oh, well, I didn't know. I'm not used to just picking up behind myself because the story behind it is I was a maid or I had people that picked up behind me. So now you're looking at them a little different. Well, you might find that that's not your choice of who you want to be with, but at the same token, you understand them better, and you guys have now communicated more successfully.
Oh, okay.
All right.
Now, just want to let you guys, it's on the time, about time now. We got about 13 minutes before the show ends.
Are you kidding me? It's only 8:23. I thought we had 9.
That's it? We got 8:30 tonight, the time block for the system.
Well, I got to Zoom. All right, let's do this. Titles. Titles. All right. Have you all ever met someone that before they had a title, they acted a certain way, and then you gave them a title, and they start tripping, they power tripping, and acting all different, and like, yo, what did you, this not you. And you start tripping. Have any of y'all on the radio, have y'all ever experienced that before?
Yes.
Yeah.
Okay. All right. Well, I need you to keep that in mind because when you say that's my man, when you say that's my husband, when you say we are dating, that is giving someone a title. And with titles,
exactly,
people come to conclusions about what their title consists of. And it might cause them to change or flip and be different from what they were when you guys, before you guys took it to the next level. So
exactly.
Let me go into dating real quick. The ladies, gentlemen, the thing that's very common when you're dating is at one point in time, the male or the female asks you, well, what is it that you like or don't like in a man or woman? And us just thinking, okay, that's just a general question. It won't harm to answer a question. We go in and we say, oh, I like this, I like that in a man. I like a man that does this, or I like a woman that does this or doesn't do this and this and this. And all that person is doing is taking mental notes of your likes and dislikes, and they're going to duplicate that to win you over. The worst thing that you can do when you're dating is tell someone what it is that you want in a male or a female. Do not do that. I see people do it all the time on their dating sites. I like a man.
You better go ahead and preach.
I don't have time for no man that does this or doesn't do that or whatever. They're thinking that they're keeping themselves from dealing with certain type of people, but what they're actually doing is creating the type of person that they want. And then as time goes by, you say, oh my gosh, you are too good to be true. Well, of course, because you helped them to be too good to be true. You told them exactly what they needed to do to be too good to be true. They lived up to that, and then as time went by, you're too good to be true went from you're too good to be true to you don't act the way that you used to. No, what they're doing now is they're falling into their selves. So when you are dating, ladies and gentlemen, if someone asks you what do you like or want in a male or female, just simply say time will tell and hopefully it's you. If they feel that you're being rude, they can get over it, but you don't have time to be telling a person what it is that you're looking for because you're giving them the ammunition to be what you're looking for or act like who you're looking for and tricking you into falling into someone that they're really not. Okay?
Been there, done that.
So many people have.
Tag.
It's such a casual conversation, and people don't realize the detriment that it causes when they share the information. So, all right, we talked about dating. Okay, relationships. Now,
go ahead.
You have to know and understand. All right, put it this way: if you were to lose your child, the first thing that a police officer is going to say is, I need a description. So do you have a picture of a recent picture or whatever? And the reason why that is because they need a description of your child to find who they're looking for. This is the same thing with a relationship. You have to take your time to write down and describe what type of male or female that you're looking for. Otherwise, you are looking for someone that you don't have any idea what they look like.
You
okay?
better go ahead and preach.
So this, in my book, Nas, to help you understand where we're at, will be called your grocery list. And you have to stick to this grocery list. What happens is, like I said, or like Nas said earlier, I said that we live in a microwave society where we want to pop something in and something comes out really quickly. And you can't do that. You have to write down a list. Now, this list cannot be physical things. I promise you that if you write down your physical things like height, he got to be tall, she got to be tall, nice leg, light skin, red bone, with big chest and big butt or whatever, I promise you the person that you end up with is going to look the total opposite of what you think about in the first place. Okay? Now, I'm going to have to go let you know right now. If you have a preference when it comes to physical, the perfect person for you is going to be pretty much the opposite. All right?
The opposite.
So, now, with that being said, this list has to be a list of values, a list of the list of no exceptions, which means if they don't have this, there's a no-go. Now, so you're talking like, okay, I want a person that is a gentleman or very feminine in her mannerisms or whatever. These are the things that you put on your list. Educated, something like that. Like I said, list of values, believes in God, stuff like that. These are the things that you want to have on this list. Now, you cannot deviate from this list.
Mm-hmm.
What happens is we do have a mental list. We just haven't taken the time to write it out. But we have a mental list, and what happens is because we are a microwave society, we start dating, and we're looking for someone that aligns with this list. And what happens is because we want it right now, we start saying, well, he or she has 8 out of the 15 things that I'm looking for, so this must be the one, because nobody's perfect. Now, I agree, there's nobody's perfect, but there is a perfect person for you, okay? And this perfect person for you will align with this list or complete this list of things that you're looking for. It's when you don't stick to the list and you say, okay, this person has 8 out of the 15, that you start, when you guys have problems, you go into a relationship which is going to already have problems. You go into the relationship with problems already because you two are going to start arguing about the other 7 things that they're lacking before the relationships even start. You feel what I'm saying? So before you go from dating to a relationship, you have to first complete the grocery list. If they don't complete the grocery list in the dating phase, you do not move from a dater, the person that you're dating, to a person that you're in a relationship with, because you do not have enough stuff that you want in this person that will cause you to go through the wilderness with them and end up married. So if they don't have the list that you're looking for, you will easily get a divorce if you guys end up getting married. You will easily just throw in the towel because you have nothing to fight for, or they don't have enough stuff for you to fight for to stick with that person. So when you're dating, before you go from dating to a relationship, you have to figure out the description of the person that you're looking for, not physical description, because with physical, first of all, time itself will ruin that relationship. With time, your face changes. You can get into an accident with. They can get into a car accident or something like that. So time itself will ruin a relationship based on physical. So it has to be more than physical when you're trying to get into a relationship with someone. And again, you have to make sure you check everything off. Now, the way that you do that is to be observant. Pay attention. You have to look at different things and the way that they act and their mannerisms or what have you to make sure, okay, they have this, okay, they have that, they have, and I'm not saying have a pad with you and taking it out and tapping the pen on your tongue and checking stuff off. Have a mental list of what it is that you're looking for in that male or that female and make sure that they align with who it is that you want to be with. Where are we? We're on relationships. Man, what time we got?
Nine.
I really thought we had till 9 o'clock.
We're still recording right now. So, I mean, you know, just keep on going, brother. The conversation's going. I'm recording live. All
right, let's do it, man. All right, so now let's go into the issues with relationships. There's a chapter in my book that's called It's Not That They Don't Love You, Y'all Just Don't Love Alike. We kind of tapped into it with the whole common sense thing and the whole situation with the woman who had the guy that was sick or what have you, and he felt that it was common sense or like this is the way that you treat me. The problem with it's not that they don't love you, y'all just don't love alike, is in our minds and what we are taught, but we misunderstood what we were taught, is we're taught to treat others the way that you want to be treated. That is the worst thing that you can do in a relationship. You do not treat your mate the way that you want to be treated. You seek the way that they want to be treated and treat them as such. Let's analyze the situation. Opposites attract, okay? Opposites attract. When we talk about opposites, we're talking about personality. So opposites attract when it comes to relationships. So if we can agree that opposites attract, why would you treat your opposite the way that you want to be treated? It makes no sense. If that is your opposite, why would you expect for them to respond the same as you? That's your opposite. It makes no sense. When your parents taught you to treat others the way that you want to be treated, what they really were trying to tell you to do is be nice, be kind, and just be loving towards other people. Because in turn, we don't want to be treated in a manner that we're hurt or not loved or just disrespected or what have you. So when your parents told you to treat others the way that they want to be treated, what they really meant was be kind to one another, be nice, don't be rude, share, and all this other that, because they assume that that's the way you want to be treated. But that is the worst thing that you can do in a relationship. You are to figure out or find out how your mate wants to be treated and then treat them as such. That will bring harmony into your relationship. That in the end of the that chapter, that wife realized after the husband communicated, hey, I'd like to be left alone when I'm sick. So when I'm sick, please don't come in here in the room bothering me when I'm sick, because that's how I get well. But when you're sick, if you want me to come in, bring in soup and orange juice and checking on you every 15 minutes, waking you up saying, hey, babe, are you okay? I know you've been in here for a while. If that's what makes you feel loved, then that's what I'll do. So instead of assuming, because this is what happens, we get caught up in our whole common sense mentality, we never talk about it, and we assume that they just don't love us, when in actuality we just don't love alike. And if you take the time to figure out how they love, you will in turn appreciate the things that they're doing. Case in point, when I first got with my wife or first got married, my time for, I didn't have a scheduled haircut day. So I would go and I would get a haircut and come home, and my wife would never notice that I got a daggone haircut. And I'm like, dang, I got a tight edge up. My face looked like a wolf before I left the house. And now I look all smooth and clean or what have you when I got home. How can you love someone and not notice a big change in them? So for months, I used to get livid about the whole thing. Like, how can you say you love somebody, but now I never spoke on it? I'm saying to myself, how can you say you love somebody you don't even recognize it, which is very common. Now, we're about to go into killer stereotypes of generalizing male and female. How common is it to hear a woman say, he never noticed when I get my nails done, never noticed when my hair is done? Now, you're hearing a man say, I got frustrated when my wife didn't notice that I got my hair cut. So call me feminine or consider it something that's debunking, generalizing male and female. But either way, please learn from what I'm trying to share with you right now. But I used to get upset. Now, I finally got upset enough to where I said something like, yo, what is the problem? You don't notice that I get my hair cut. How can you say you love me and you don't even recognize such a drastic change in me? And my wife, she sat me down and she said, "Bae, I can't even lie. I don't notice when you get your hair cut. But I did not marry you or I do not love you because of your haircut and how you look. So that stuff does not really do anything for me. That's not what makes me," she said, "has the sex change when you don't have a haircut? Do I treat you any differently when you don't have a haircut?" I was like, "No." She said, "Because your haircut does not define you and who you are to me." She said, "I love you because of the way that you are, not the way that you look." So after my wife shared that with me, that made me feel better about her not noticing my haircut. And I, in the inside, I thought to myself, well, if she ever notices now when I get a haircut, I'm probably going to snap. Because that means now she is looking at my outward appearance. But it took me to communicate with my wife to understand that it wasn't that she didn't love me. We just didn't love alike. And now I appreciated her not noticing as opposed to being pissed that she did notice. Does that make any sense? We lost? I know I hear a lot of quietness in the background.
No, I'm feeling. I'm with you. I'm with you, definitely.
All right. So, ladies, the way that you would interpret what I just said is, please talk to him if you have a problem with him not noticing your hair got done or not noticing that you changed your eye color and your contacts or your nails done. Express that to him, and you might find that it's not that he doesn't love you. That's just not what he's into about you that makes his heart beat for you the way that it does. So it's imperative to understand that it's not necessarily that you guys don't or that person doesn't love you. Y'all just might not love alike. So you guys need to figure out how it is that you love so that you can appreciate and know that your mate loves you as opposed to thinking that they don't. Okay?
Hey, once again, I got to give you a call, man. Unfortunately, our time is came down, Brother Eddie. For those who check it out, listen, hold up. This is just the start. This is just a start. You guys haven't even heard the best. Yeah. This is a start. You know, once again, we want to thank all the listeners for tuning to the Man of Talk show with my brother Eddie right here, the lovely Miss Raven, and we have the Miss Lovely Miss Tony Shannon online as well. So we appreciate everyone tuning in. Once again, Brother Eddie, want to say congratulations at the 1,600 listeners checking in. We appreciate that. Tony, just to let you know, your last numbers from last year was 13,000.
These numbers are wonderful. I appreciate the listening, but it is so pointless for you guys to listen if you're not applying. So please, if you are listening, don't just get all excited and enjoy what it is that you hear. Please apply it or even consider it, consider adopting it so that you can better your life in our community. Please,
exactly.
Please, I like hearing the numbers. It's great, and we appreciate your ears, your hearts and minds. But it's pointless to hear this stuff and do nothing with it. So.
Exactly. And at the end of the day, like you just said, I appreciate the numbers and I appreciate that everybody was calling and listening. But at the end of the day, everyone needs to know that you are here for a reason, for a season. And once the season is over, you know the reason why you've been here. But at the end of the day, we need to come together as one and start learning that our lives together, we are here to protect each other. It's not about the drama all the extra stuff. It's about learning to love one another and learning how to live this life and be prosperous.
All right.
All right, Raven, any closing comments?
No.
But once again, you know, thank you everybody for tuning in. You know, we'll see you next week. You know, we'll, the topic will be up online on Facebook. Check out Shadow Wells. Check out Raven's Closet. Check out Brother Edward L. Fairley's website.
And Tony Fallon is coming back.
All right. And once again, everyone, we appreciate all the love. And everyone have a beautiful and blessed night.
All right. Good night.
Meet me at Bogey, y'all. Meet me at Bogey.
Good night, everyone.
Good night.
Love you.
Love you.
Love you more.
The show has been sponsored by Team Fox. Mind, focusing, intelligence, nurturing excellence with Bill Paul, Marilla Mills. Raven's Closet Talk Show.
Shadow, 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 world, 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 world.